Yesterday we got up to verse 8, which was Duryodhana was describing about all the great personalities, or some of the great personalities on his side. This first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, sometimes it may seem that it's rather mundane. But what makes it not mundane is the fact that Krishna is present on the battlefield. Therefore, even meditating on this first chapter, including Krishna, therefore becomes transcendental, this first chapter. Although Arjuna, we'll find out after verse 26, is mostly about his mundane arguments about why he shouldn't fight. But still, because Krishna is present, even hearing these arguments, we can make spiritual advancement. Similarly, Duryodhana is glorifying these great warriors. Seems rather mundane in one sense, but because it's all connected with Krishna consciousness, therefore it's transcendental. Even the Krishna book, if we read the stories, there is many things that are described, which in one sense seem to be material. But the reason why they're not material is because they're connected with Krishna. As we can give the example, just like there is the pastime, which I usually describe, when the songs of the gopis' feelings of separation, it describes when Krishna was seen walking on the bank of the Jamuna, he was seen nicely decorated with tilak on his forehead, and he was garlanded with different types of forest flowers. His body was smeared with the pulp of sandalwood and tulsi leaves. The atmosphere became... The bumblebees became attracted by the nectar of the atmosphere, and being pleased by the humming sound of the bees, Krishna began to play upon his flute, and the combined sounds became so sweet to hear that the aquatics, the ducks, or actually it says in the new translation, all the aquatic birds, such as the ducks, the swans, they stopped swimming and flying, and they became stunned. Then they closed their eyes and entered into a trance and meditation and worship of Krishna. So in one sense, to hear about a bee is not considered the highest transcendental topic. But in this case, hearing about a bumblebee in relationship with Krishna, buzzing, even to hear if one can visualize within himself or try to hear what a bee sounds like. Well, actually, that's not it. So if one hears that within himself in relationship to Krishna, then that sound of a bee becomes spiritualized. And by hearing it, one can attain the highest transcendental ecstasy. Generally, if one hears the sound of a bee, mostly one's hairs don't stand on end due to ecstasy. Matter of fact, one looks here and there and sees where it's coming from, afraid that it might sting one. But on the other hand, if one remembers the bee in relationship to Krishna, if one sees the bee, and then, just like Srimati Radharani, when she saw a bumblebee, she didn't get out her spray can and do away with the bee. She thought it was a messenger coming from Krishna. She could only see the bumblebee, all its activities, its sound, everything, was all seen and experienced in relationship to Krishna. Therefore, she experienced transcendental love just by seeing the bee. Similarly, this battle of Kurukshetra is not a battle, is not where we necessarily go to reach Krishna Prema, to see people's heads and arms get cut off. Just in the Krishna book, it describes when Krishna battled against, say, for instance, Jarasandha, when he killed all his 18 Akshahini divisions of soldiers, that the battle was so ghastly that the blood was just like an ocean. And the arms and legs of the warriors were just like seaweed floating in the ocean. And the elephants were just like small islands. And all their jewels were just like, and their different ornaments were just like pebbles on the shore of the ocean of blood. You should smile when you hear these things. After all, it's Krishna who did it. So these things are generally considered quite ghastly. But because Krishna is the one who's doing it, if we remember Krishna in the midst of all this hara, then it becomes rather pleasing because Krishna is involved. For some people. Depends what your rasa is. Especially those who have a ghastly rasa with Krishna. They become quite excited to hear these things. But in the same way, so this is another battlefield, and here 640 million people will be killed. But what makes it pleasing and exciting to hear about is because Krishna, he's present on the battle, on the battlefield. And therefore he's transcendentalizing everything. Factually, on the higher platform, one sees everything in relation to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was walking in New York, 1967, and some garbage was blowing in the street. And Prabhupada mentioned that for a spiritualist, one who's on the transcendental platform, everything is very beautiful. I personally used to walk on those same streets, even to go to the 22nd Avenue or 61st Avenue. That was most, to me, because I was not so spiritually elevated, it was the most horrible part to get down there. It was the most horrible place in the world. It's kind of like the battlefield that I was describing. There's so many crazy people walking the street. But for Prabhupada, it was very beautiful. So similarly, this battlefield is quite pleasing for one who can remember Krishna in the midst of it. Now we're up to text number 9. So those who have a book, they can read along. Anye cha bhava sura maratye tyaktva jivata nana shastra viharana sarvayuda visharada. There are many other heroes who are prepared to lay down their lives for my sake. All of them are well equipped with different kinds of weapons and all are experienced in military science. So, just like an astrologer here, Duryodhana is predicting the outcome. They're all going to lay down their lives for his sake. Text 10. Aparyaptam tarasvakam balam bhima bhijma virakshitam paryaptam tvidam etesham balam bhima virakshitam. Our strength is immeasurable and we are perfectly protected by grandfather Bhijma, whereas the strength of the Pandavas, carefully protected by Bhima, is limited. This word aparyaptam has two meanings. If it's used in the sense to encourage Dronacharya, then it means that because Bhijma Deva is present, although he's a great general, aparyaptam here means insufficient. We can't win the battle just because Bhijma is present. But it also means immeasurable, aparyaptam. In that sense, it's encouraging Bhijma Dev, because it means because Bhijma Dev is here, therefore our strength is immeasurable. Therefore it either means limited or immeasurable. This is Sanskrit. In any case, Dronacharya or Duryodhana is such an expert diplomat that he's able to use words in such a way as to encourage all the soldiers on his party. And now, because there are many other warriors gathered around, and he wants to encourage everyone. He's encouraged Drona by saying that you have to fight because your bitterest enemy, the person who's going to kill you, has arranged the opposite phalanx of the armies. He's encouraged Dronacharya by saying Ashwatthama is here, and your son's here. He's encouraged Vikarna, his brother, not to go over to the other side. He's encouraged Bhishma Dev by saying your strength is immeasurable. He's encouraged Dronacharya by saying it's insufficient that Bhishma Dev is here. But all these other soldiers also have to be encouraged. So now he says, text 11, Aneshu chasvistarveshu yatabhagam avastita bhijvam eva virakshantu bhavantakseva evahi. Now all of you must give full support to Grandfather Bhijma as you stand at your respective strategic points of entrance into the phalanx of the army. Now he's trying to encourage everyone else that although we have Bhijma Dev here and we have Dronacharya, still you all have to be awake because he's an old man, Bhijma Dev, and Dronacharya is also, his heart is half with the Pandavas and half with us. Therefore all you other soldiers also have to be very vigilant, to be alert, that the soldiers don't break through on the opposite party. Now in text 12, Bhishma Dev will give his answer. After hearing from Duryodhana, now he'll respond. Tasya sanjanayam harsham kuru vrida pitamaha singanadam vinadyanshai sankhyam dhamma pritapavan. Then Bhishma, the great valiant grandsire of the Kuru dynasty, the grandfather of the fighters, blew his conch shell very loudly, making it sound like the roar of a lion, giving Duryodhana joy. So at least one person became happy when he heard the conch shell. But Bhishma Dev's using the conch shell has different significance, different types of meanings. One meaning is that he was indicating that victory or defeat rests with Krishna. That he'd do his best and fight, but because Krishna, or the Supreme Lord, is ultimately the controller, then he could not do more than his duty. And by his use of the conch shell, he also indicates that they're going to lose the war, because the conch shell is the symbol of Vishnu. And therefore, his blowing it as a response means that we'll fight, but we're ultimately going to lose anyhow. And here we find only Duryodhana was joyful because he was always worried about whether Bhishma Dev was actually going to fight to his best ability. And throughout the whole battle, that same issue always came up, whether Bhishma Dev was actually going to fight very fiercely and try and kill his grandchildren. Even during the battle, when Duryodhana, he came to Bhishma Dev and said, "My dear grandfather, you're not fighting very much. Your heart is not in it. You're actually siding with the Pandavas because you don't like me." So Bhishma Dev said that tomorrow I'll definitely kill the Pandavas. So you give me 5 arrows and rest assured with those 5 arrows I'll kill each one of the 5 Pandavas. So Duryodhana gave him the 5 arrows. He was very happy. But Krishna, because he's a super soul, he told Arjuna to go to Duryodhana and beg for those 5 arrows. Arjuna, he went there and said, "My dear Duryodhana, remember some time back you promised me that you'd give me a boon?" Duryodhana said, "Yes, I remember that. So whatever you want, I can give you. If you want the kingdom, if you want me not to fight, I'll give you whatever benediction you want." The Kshatriyas were so noble. But Arjuna said, "No, just give me those 5 arrows. So Duryodhana said, "Here, take the 5 arrows. Then when Bhishma Dev heard about that, he became so angry that he said, "Tomorrow I'll fight so strongly that either Krishna, he has to break his promise and fight on behalf of the Pandavas, or my promise will be broken that I'll kill the 5 Pandavas. And we know that the next day Bhishma, they fought so fiercely that at one time it seemed that Arjuna was just about to be killed. So Krishna, he got down from his chariot and took the wheel of the chariot and rushed towards Bhishma Dev to kill him. And just at that time the sun went down and the day stopped and the fighting stopped. At that time, at that part of the battle, they were still following the rules and regulations, and therefore Bhishma Dev wasn't killed. Text 13. So now there's a concert. Before every great event there's always a concert. Text 13. Tatakshankasravyascha Panavanaka Gomaka Sahasavyavahanyantakshavdastumlo Bhavat. After that the conch shells, drums, bugles, trumpets, and horns were all. Text 14. Tatakshwe Terahir Yukte Mahati Syandane Sito Madhava Panavai Shaiva Divya Sankhya Pritamatu. On the other side, both Lord Krishna and Arjuna, stationed on a great chariot, drawn by white horses, sounded their transcendental conch shells. So here is another indication that Krishna and his side, Arjuna and their side, were going to win, because their conch shells are transcendental. Plus, their horses and the chariot The horses were actually given by Chitarata. Chitarata, he was sent by Indra. When Duryodhana, he wanted to attack the Pandavas when they're in the forest. He thought that now is a good time to kill the Pandavas because they don't have any weapons and they're in the forest. So himself, and being advised by Shukuni, they went into the forest, Padushya-san and everyone else, to kill the Pandavas. But Indra, knowing about this, he sent the Gandharvas headed by Chitarata, and they fought against Duryodhana and captured him. And then it was announced that now Duryodhana has been captured. And so Arjuna and the Pandavas, they had their weapons there. And so they fought against the Gandharvas and they defeated them. And after that, Arjuna, he burnt the chariot of Chitarata. After that he's known as a person who has a, I forget the Sanskrit name, do you remember? Person with a Dugdharath, person with a burnt chariot. But he made friendship with Arjuna, and therefore he gave Arjuna white horses, transcendental horses. That used to be one of the questions on the Krishna ball when they used to have Krishna. What were the names of the four white horses that are in the Krishna book? Does anyone know?
Megapushpa is one.
Megapushpa. And I can't remember them either. Anyhow, this is not the Krishna ball. In any case, he gave him four white horses, plus Agni gave him the chariot. And where did he get the Gandiva bow from? Yes, when he fought, no, he got the Pashupati weapon from Lord Shiva. He got the Gandiva bow from also from Agni. When the Kandava forest, when Arjuna helped Agni devour it, therefore he got the chariot and he got the Gandiva bow. What's that? Yeah, he got his disc. So here we find that so many auspicious things are there. Plus we'll find out later on as we read that Arjuna has many other auspicious symptoms. And these all indicate victory. They used to have this, previously all the movies used to be in America, or at least around the world, that the good guy would always win. The good guy would be dressed in white and he would actually, you know, be smiling and kind of clean. And the bad guy would have a big mustache. He'd be dressed in black. And there are many other inauspicious symptoms. Because nowadays, the trend is the bad guy wins. Just as people approach the mode of ignorance, then the good guy is the bad guy. and the bad guy is the good guy. That's also there in the Ramayana, by that there is a Ramayana for persons in the mode of ignorance. And there, the hero of that Ramayana is Ravan. And the villain is Rama, Lord Ram. Everyone has to be encouraged. Then when the demons read these scriptures, they think, well, we should follow scripture. Text 15. Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadatam Dhananjaya Pandram Dhamma Mahasankhyam Bhima Karmi Rikrodaraha. Lord Krishna blew his conch shell called Panchajanya. Arjuna blew his the Devadatta, and Bhima, the voracious eater and performer of Herculean tasks, blew his terrific conch shell called Pondra. Here we can see Bhima, he's called Vrikodar, which means, Vrik means wolf, and Udara means belly. So Bhima, he was famous because he had a wolf belly. For instance, when they were in exile and they were living in the house of a Brahmin, in this village there was one Rakshasa, a very powerful Rakshasa, and he would regularly devour most of the inhabitants of the village. So they made a deal with him that periodically they'd send a cartload of food plus one of the members of the family, and this way the Rakshasa he'd devour the food and then eat the member who brought it, of the family. And when the Brahmin's family was chosen, now you have to choose one of the members of your family to bring up this food, and you have to cook all this cartload of food. In this way, Rakshash will have a good feast. But Kunti Devi and the five Pandavas were staying there, so she said, "No, we can't do that. I'll give one of my sons." So the Brahmin said, No, don't do that. We can't. You're our guest. We can't allow you to sacrifice one of your sons." She said, No problem. I have five sons. You only have one. Besides that, my son, he'll be very happy to do it. Bhima. Because they were living as Brahmins, and all they could do is go begging. And begging as a Brahmin, you don't necessarily get a whole lot to eat. Someone will give you one chapati or something. But Bhima, he had a voracious appetite. So he was, when they got all the food back, then Kunti Devi would collect all the food together, and then she'd give half of it to Bhima. And then she'd divide the rest amongst everyone else. But Bhima was always in anxiety that he wasn't getting enough to eat. So their mother, Queen Kunti, or Mother Kunti, said, "Yes, you take up this cartload of food, and you go and deliver it to the Rakshasa." So Bhima said, "Oh, this is fantastic. This is what..." So he dragged up the cartload where the demon was, and he sat down, and he was eating the food. And then the demon saw that, and he said, "How dare you?" And he rushed out. There was a big fight, of course, and Bhima broke his back. And then he sat down for prasadam. So there are many pastimes of Bhima like that. He was famous for having a huge appetite. He could eat unlimitedly. Therefore, we celebrate Bhima Ekadasi by his mercy. His one Ekadasi, if strictly follow it, we get at least free from the not following the other ones, because I believe that of all the Pandavas, they were vegetarians, but sometimes Bhima, when he was really hungry, you never know what he ate. A Rakshasa too, I guess. He had a good appetite. Prabhupada said that as far as appetites, if you have a good appetite, it's a sign of many pious activities in your past lifetime. You have a good fire digestion. A lot of people have a good appetite. You have to have a good fire digestion to go with it. Text 16 to 18. Anantavijayam Raja Kunti Putra Yudhisthira Nakulasa Devascha Sugosha Manapushpaka Kasyascha Parameshvasya Vikandicha Maharata Tristaduya Viratascha Satyakischa Paradita Jupiro Jopadeyascha Sarvasha Prativipate Sovajascha Mahabahu Sankhyam Dhamma Pritak Pritak. King Yudhisthira, the son of Kunti, blew his conch shell, the Ananta Vijaya, and Nakula and Sahadev blew the Sugosha and Manipushpaka. The great Arsha, the king of Kashi, the great fighter Shikandi, Dristadumya, Virata, the unconquerable Satyaki, Drupada, the sons of Draupadi, and others, O king, such as the mighty armed son of Subhadra, all blew their respective conch shells. The acharyas point out that the Pandavas, their conch shells are mentioned here, and they're the ones out of this list who survived. Everyone else was killed on the battlefield. So this is a good indication if you're going to fight on the battlefield, it's best to have a conch shell and give it some good name. Otherwise there might be some difficulty. Also Satyaki, he also survived, but he's mentioned here as aparajita. Aparajita means unconquerable. Does anyone know who Satyaki is? No, that's Shikandi. Satyaki? No, he's the commander-in-chief of the Yadu army. Krishna, he donated his army, or at least part of his army, Vanashahini, or actually more than, Vanashahini to Duryodhana. But he himself, he was Arjuna's chariot driver, and somehow or another Sakyaki got in here also, fighting on behalf of the Pandavas. Text 19. Sago shoda drastranam ridiyani vyadaryat navasya prativim jaiva tumlo bhyananadayan. The blowing of these different conch shells became uproarious, vibrating both in the sky and on the earth. It shattered the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra. So it was a bad start for the sons of Dhritarashtra. And this is due to the transcendental potency of Lord Krishna and those who fight with him. And although they may be outnumbered, and although it seems like nothing on their, they don't have so many things going on their side, at least from the demon's point of view. But if one takes shelter of Krishna, then Krishna gives all the energy by which all his enemy, one's enemies can be defeated. This is the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. Does anyone know the last verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Yes. Yatra partha dinardana tatrashya vidyo bhutir dhruva niti mitir mama. That wherever there is Krishna, wherever there is Arjuna, there'll certainly be Arjuna, the master. Krishna is the master of all mystics, and Arjuna, the great fighter. There'll be certainly be victory, morality, extraordinary power, and what else? Opulence. So victory is there for wherever there is Krishna, and Krishna is pure devotee. Certainly there'll be victory. When I used to come back from Sankirtan in Spain, when I was doing marathons there, they had two words. One was, when they asked you, how did you do? The answer was either Garuda, which indicated you did quite well, or the other one was Jatayu. Indicated you fought, but there was some problem. In any case, there's victory. So text 20. Atavya vyastitan drishva dhaktarashtran kapidvaja prarite shastra sambhate danorujyam yapandava rishikesha tatavakyam idamaha mahipate. At that time, Arjuna, the son of Pandu, seated in the chariot, bearing the flag marked with Hanuman, took up his bow and prepared to shoot his arrows. O king, after looking at the sons of Dhritarashtra, drawn in military array, Arjuna then spoke to Lord Krishna these words. Here's another auspicious sign that Arjuna's flag was marked with Hanuman. Hanuman was factually present on the battlefield on the flag. When the Pandavas were exiled in the forest, one day Bhima was walking in the forest and he came across one huge monkey. And the monkey had an enormous tail which was lying across the forest path. So Bhima said, "My dear monkey, you're an old monkey, so I have to show you some respect, because that's one of the Vedic culture. Even if you're a monkey, if you're old enough, then people show you respect. There are different reasons why you show someone respect. And one of them is a seniority. Another is their learning. Another one is their position. But in this case, because he was an elder monkey, Bhima said, "My dear monkey, could you kindly move your tail? Because I don't want to step over you. It would be an offense." So the monkey said, "Well, I'm a little tired. I'm an old man. Could you do me a favor? Maybe you can move my tail." And Bhima was a little reluctant. He didn't want to touch the, it would be an embarrassing activity to touch the monkey, the tails, a monkey's tail just to move it. So he just went, "All right, I'll do it." And so he tried to just brush it aside. But when he did it, the tail didn't move at all. So he looked at it. He was a little surprised. He looked at the monkey and said, "Can you kindly move your tail?" He said, "I'm so tired, you know, I can't even hardly move. Why don't you do it?" So Bhima said, "All right." So he took his hand, his left hand, and he was going to pick up the tail and just throw it, but he couldn't even budge it. So then he took both hands, and he was trying to lift this tail. Rah! Then he realized, this is not an ordinary monkey. Then he thought, there's only one monkey who could have a tail like this. So then he paid his obeisances and said, you must be my brother Hanuma. So they embraced each other, and they talked about their different pastimes. Because Hanuman and Bhima, they're both sons of the wind god, Vayu. Hanuman was really indirectly the son of the wind. It was a whole story about, you take half the class to tell the story, how the wind god impregnated and became the father of Hanuman. But he was. And so, of course, we know that Vayu was also Bhima's father. And so they embraced. So Hanuman said, soon there'll be a great war. And in that great war, I want to take part. But I'll take part on your flag. And so Hanuman was riding on the flag of Arjuna. And Bhima and Hanuman, they periodically scream out their war cries. And their screaming was so horrendous that all the soldiers on both sides, they become completely petrified. And even the elephants began to cry. Now Arjuna, he's looking over the sons of Dhritarashtra, and we can find out he becomes a little bit on the mental platform. So for those who are on the mental platform, we can identify ourselves with Arjuna, at least that one. And text 21 to 22. Arjuna vacha, sena yurava yaramadye, ritam stapaya me chuta, yavene tandarikshaham, yodun kamanavastitam, kermaya sarayodavyam, asmin rana samudyame. Arjuna said, O infallible one, please draw my chariot between the two armies, so that I may see those present here who desire to fight, with whom I must contend in this great trial of arms. It's not that Arjuna didn't have the invitation list who was invited to attend and fight. Arjuna knew perfectly well who was going to come here and fight, but still he got a little bit on the mental platform, so he wanted to look around and see. So we'll find out that if you get on the mental platform, what happens? Text 23. Yosyamanam avekshayham yeite trasamagata datarasrasadurabhudera yude priyachakirshavaha. Let me see those who have come here to fight, wishing to please the evil-minded son of Dhritarashtra. Sanjaya vacha evam yutva rishikesha durakesha bharata. Sanjaya said, O descendant of Bharat, having thus been addressed by Arjuna, Lord Krishna drew up the fine chariot in the midst of the armies of both parties. Here we find Krishna for the first time being mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. And how is he being mentioned? He's being mentioned as a chariot driver for Arjuna. A chariot driver was not a high class occupation in the Veda culture. It was for the mixed caste between the, if you had a Brahmin mother and a Kshatriya father, then you became a chariot driver. It was considered quite a low class occupation. Not so low class. It was better than a bhangi. But it wasn't considered a very high class occupation. But Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is he doing? He's acting as Arjuna's chariot driver. The chariot drivers, we can see, if one reads these stories in the Krishna book, they're usually the first person to get killed. The warriors, when they fight each other, they wouldn't even, first they'd kill the horses, then they kill the chariot driver, then they cut off the head of the warrior. Because the chariot driver is usually right in the front, and so he'd get all the arrows. And the ones that went through him, they got to hit the warrior. It wasn't a high. It wasn't the. There weren't too many applications for chariot driver. And there was a lot of vacancies in the post. Early retirement. But here Krishna is taking the job of a chariot driver. The dust, the arrows, just moving the horses. But he's doing it because his devotee is there. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in South India, he went to Rangakshetra, and there he saw one Brahmin. And the Brahmin, he was reciting every day all 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. But he could not pronounce the words properly. Probably better than myself or some of us here. But he, at that time, people were a little bit more strict. It's like if you go to France, you don't speak French properly, then everyone laughs at you. They don't respond. They just laugh. So he was chanting the 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita improperly, and so people would criticize him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't criticize or laugh, but he went over to the Brahmin and said, "My dear Brahmin," he said, "I see that you're chanting the 18 chapters. Why are you doing that?" But you can understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's not coming here to criticize me or to tease me. He's actually asking a serious question. So he said, "My spiritual master, he asked me every day I have to chant the 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. So I'm doing it, but I don't know how to chant so nicely, but so I'm doing the best I can." But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Brahmin, I can see that you're crying. So how is it that you're crying?" He said, "I cannot chant very nicely, but every time I open the Bhagavad Gita, I remember, or I see one picture of Krishna as Arjuna's chariot driver. And Arjuna is telling Krishna, 'Draw my chariot up between the two armies.' So I'm thinking, Krishna, he's so great that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything, and yet he's acting as the humble servant of his devotee. So when I think like that, I immediately begin to cry." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and said, "My dear Brahmin, you are actually someone who's understood the Bhagavad Gita." And here we find Krishna. He's the humble chariot driver, and he's following the instructions of his devotee. Text 25. Bhishma drona pramukata sarvesham cha mahikshitam vavacha parata paishaitam samavetan karuniti. In the presence of Bhishma, Drona, and all the other chieftains of the world, the Lord said, "Just behold, Partha, all the Kurus assembled here." Krishna is known as Daksha. Although, Daksha means expert. Although he's a humble chariot driver of his devotee, still, he has, as they say nowadays in ISKCON, he has his agenda also. He fulfills many purposes at the same time. Although he's acting as a humble devotee of his devotee, still, he has a purpose to fulfill. That is the battle of Kurukshetra, and to speak the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, the word here is pramukata. He put them right in front of their faces. Just like in the Western world, if you want to fight with someone, you go right up to their face. Look them right in the eye and say, "What did you say? You want to repeat it?" And then the fight begins. So in the same way, Krishna wanted Arjuna to get a good look at Bhima and Dronacharya. So he put them right in front of their face, because he knew what the reaction would be. So text 26. Tatra paishat sitim parta pitrinatya pitamahan acharan matran bratrin putran potran sikhim sita swasaran saridas chaiva seni arvi arapi. There Arjuna could see within the midst of the armies of both parties, his fathers, grandfathers, teachers, maternal uncles, brothers, sons, grandsons, friends, and also his fathers-in-law and well-wishers all assembled there. So this was, Krishna was really trying to bewilder Arjuna. You can just imagine if suddenly you're on a battlefield and you look, who's the opposite side? There's your daughter. There's your grandfather. Your father and your mother, your maternal uncle, your grandchildren. They're all there to fight against you. So what is the reaction? You think, wow, what an opportunity. Imagine how much insurance I'll get back. That might be our reaction nowadays, but it wasn't Arjuna's reaction. That's the difference between the Veda culture and modern culture. Text 27. Kansamekshesa kunteya sarvanvana navastitan kripaya paya vistam vishidamidam abravi. When the son of Kunti Arjuna saw all these different grades of friends and relatives, he became overwhelmed with compassion and spoke thus. Arjuna vacha. One word here is kripaya. So kripa means compassion, but there's another word, daya, which also means compassion. When daya means compassion for all living entities in general. But here we find kripaya, which means compassion for one's a certain group of people, not in general. Although the word compassion is used here, but it's not meant that Arjuna had the highest stage of compassion, universal compassion. His compassion for his relatives and friends. Arjuna vacha dvishvayman swajana krishna yutsam samupastitam siddhanti mamagatrani mukham chaparishu shiti. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, seeing my friends and relatives present before me in such a fighting spirit, I feel the limbs of my body quivering and my mouth drying up. So the first part was more or less an introduction. Now from 26... practically to the end of the chapter, we'll hear about Arjuna's reasons why he doesn't want to fight. And they're quite good reasons. It's not that Arjuna was a fool and that he was trying to get out of it, but he had very good reasons why he didn't want to fight. So if you want to make up some excuse why you don't want to do something, then you can also find it in Krishna's literature, in Bhagavad Gita and others. But that's why there's Guru and Sadhu also, rather than just the scriptures. Text 29. Vipatus cha shri reme ramashastar shidayate gandivam shamsate hastat kyaktaiva paridayate. My whole body is trembling, my hair is standing on end, my bow gandiva is slipping from my hand, and my skin is burning. Having quite a reaction. Text 20-30. Could you imagine if someone had all these reactions and immediately they call for the people with the white suits and they come and take him away and drug him up, and then psychiatrist would ask, you know, what happened to you when you were young? Did your mother beat you? What did you think of your father? Like that. But we'll find out that this was not Krishna's reaction. Although Arjuna is having quite severe reactions. Seems like he's having a nervous breakdown. But still, we can find out how Krishna dealt with it later on. What was his psychological technique for getting Arjuna out of Maya? Text 30. Vichashok nami vastatum Brahmativa Jamemanak Namitani Chapashami Viparitani Keshava. I am now unable to stand here any longer. I am forgetting myself and my mind is reeling. I see only causes of misfortune. O Krishna, killer of the Keshi demon. Text Text 31. Nakangshe vidyam Krishna nachara jam sukhani cha. I do not see how any good can come from killing my own kinsmen in this battle, nor can I, my dear Krishna, desire any subsequent victory, kingdom, or happiness. This is Arjuna's first excuse. It won't make me happy. Many devotees have this excuse. Why don't you want to do it? Because I'm not inspired. We've heard that before. It just says, he doesn't inspire me. My leader told me to do it, but I'm not inspired. So Arjuna is not inspired. That's his first. But Krishna, we'll see if that's the best. It's not the only one, but it's the first one. Text 32-35. Kim no rajena govinda, kim bogarji vatena va. Yeshamarte kamchitam no rajam boga sukhanicha. Dime vyasita yude pranam styaksvadinanicha. Acharya pitara putra sthaiva cha pitamaha. Matra swasara potra shaila sambinanastata. Etam nahantum ishami ganopi madhusudana. Apitra lokya rajasya hetu kim no mahi krite. Vihatya datrastra na kaprati sajanardana. O Govinda, of what avail to us for a kingdom, happiness, or even life itself, when all those for whom we may desire them are now arrayed on this battlefield? O Madhusudana, when teachers, fathers, sons, grandfathers, maternal uncles, fathers-in-law, grandsons, brothers-in-law, and all other relatives are ready to give up their lives and properties and are standing before me, why should I wish to kill them, even though they might otherwise kill me? O maintainer of all living entities, I am not prepared to fight with them, even in exchange for the three worlds, let alone this earth. What pleasure will we derive from killing the sons of Dhritarashtra? Here's another excuse. It won't make me happy, and I'm not attached to all these kingdoms. What will we benefit by getting a kingdom or anything, if we have to kill our relatives to get it? The first symptom of Arjuna's falling into Maya was that he became attached. We'll find out later. Dhyayato Vishayam Punsam. He looked over. He took a look. There's something in Bengali. If I want to see it, who can prevent me? So that's the first symptom. I want to see it. So Arjuna fell into that trap. Then he fell completely into Maya. He became attached. He became bewildered. He forgot. And what is the first symptom? He didn't want to do his duty. Maya gave him so many excuses why he didn't have to do his duty. But in other words, if we fall into Maya, the first thing we don't want to do is our duty. And what we want to do is something other than our duty. Prabhupada also once gave another symptom of Maya, which follows. He said, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na Shoshiti na Kangshiti. So Prasanatma means joyful. So if one is feeling morose, that's a sign of lack of Krishna consciousness. We can't be morose and think, I'm in Krishna consciousness. That if I'm bewildered, if I'm morose, if I don't want to do my duty, if I'm not inspired, that means I'm in Maya. Although I can point out, he's the one who did it. Still, I'm in Maya. Doesn't matter who did it. I'm the one who fell into Maya. So Arjuna has fallen into Maya. He's bewildered. He's uninspired. He's coming up with excuses. His mind is reeling. He has so many different ideas, but still he's in Maya. No matter how articulate he is, how profound his expression is, how artistically he threw down his bow and arrow, still he's in Maya. Text 36. Papam eva shayarasman hadvat danatitayana tasmanarha vayam hantum dhatarashtra sabandavan Svadinam hikatam hatva sukina shayama madhava. Sin will overcome us if we slay such aggressors. Therefore it is not proper for us to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and our friends. What should we gain, O Krishna, husband of the goddess of fortune, and how can we be happy by killing our own kinsmen? This is probably the primary reason why Arjuna doesn't want to fight. He's afraid of sin. His definition of sin. And he's afraid that, why, if I kill all these relatives, then although I may get a kingdom for some years, but then if I go to hell for millions of years, what's the benefit? Just like King Riga, he performed so many pious activities. He gave away more cows than there are grains of sand on the beach. So that's a lot of cows. Think about it. And they weren't ordinary cows. All the cows, they had silver hooves. And they were covered with golden horns. And they had silken wrappers. And they only had one calf. And they were all milking. There were a lot of cows. But King Riga, although he also dug lakes and wells and different roads he created, he performed so many pious activities, there was no limit to his pious reactions, but still, because he made one little mistake, he had to become a lizard. Here, Arjuna, he's thinking, I'm going to get one little reaction, I'll get a kingdom as it was for 32 years, and then afterwards, because of all the sinful activities I perform, I'll have to go to hell for 100 billion years. So is that a good thing? No. So he was a little worried. If you were told, you do this activity, and we'll give you a lollipop. And then afterwards, for 5 years, we're going to torture you. How many devotees here would do that service? People would be a little reluctant. Text 37-38. Yadyapyate na pashanti lobo pata chetasa kulashaya kritam dosham mitra drohe japatakam. Katam nagyem asma vi papam asma nivartatum kulashaya kritam dosham prapashad vir janardana. O Janardan, although these men, their hearts overtaken by greed, see no fault in killing one's family or quarreling with friends, why should we, who can see the crime in destroying a family, engage in these acts of sin? So again, the sin argument is used. Nowadays, people wouldn't accept this argument. They don't believe there's such a thing as sin, because they're so sinful. Just like if you're, Prabhupada said, if you're a fire, or if you have a very fiery body or something, that if you enter into fire, then you don't even notice it's fire. The people living on the sun planet, they don't notice that it's like a hot day. But if one is an ordinary person, when the sun appears to us a little hotter, then we notice it because we're not so hot. If one is completely sinful, then for them there's no such thing as sin. Just like nowadays, people can't understand what you're talking about if you talk about sin, because they're so sinful, it's completely normal to them. But Arjuna, who's a great warrior, a great devotee of Krishna, therefore he was very worried about performing sinful activities. Text 39. Kula Shaye Pranashanti Kula Dharma Sanatana Dharminashte Kula Kritsnama Dharma Vivat Yuta. With the destruction of dynasty, the eternal family tradition is vanquished, and thus the rest of the family becomes involved in irreligion. This is a whole series of connected reasoning that in the Veda culture, the family was taken as very important. just like we had our social development meeting, conference, because the basis of the Vanashram culture is based on the generosity of the householders, and that the elderly members, which means the family structure, from the very beginning, they train up the children, and the whole family would be trained up to participate in the Vanashram culture. It didn't happen spontaneously. They had to be training. So the training went on from the very beginning of life, practically speaking. Even before, for the Brahmins, there was the Garbhadhan Sanskara. No one could be considered a Brahmin by birth unless their parents were Brahmins. And they could chant the mantras before conception for the Garbhadhan Sanskara. It wasn't that they rattled through the mantras real quick. But they be able to have to be chanting them in such a way as to have the effect. Just like the Brahmins, they would chant the mantra and the fire would be lit. They chant the mantra and a demon would be created. Or they chant some mantra and something wonderful would happen. Just like the Brahmins, they chanted the mantra, let Indra be part of fall into the sacrificial arena. They were so powerful, and Indra stole the horse of King Prithu. And Prithu Maharaj found out about this when he was performing the Ashwamedha sacrifice. And he told the Brahmins, chant a mantra, let Indra be sacrificed into the fire. So the Brahmins chanted the mantra, and Indra began to fall into the sacrifice, to be burnt into the sacrifice. They were so powerful. They were more powerful than the demigods. The Vedic culture was such that if one was born into such a family, even before conception, they chant certain mantras, and that way the child who would be conceived would be in the mode of goodness, a perfect candidate to become a Brahmin, even from birth. So such a culture, from the very beginning, would train up the children to participate in the Vanashram culture, and they train up all the family members so that the whole society would progress towards spiritual realization. But if there were no elderly members who knew about the culture, then Arjuna was afraid that the traditions which gradually elevated the family members would all be vanquished. And he was right. You can see in modern culture, the father, I remember one devotee, his father was working for the CIA. Famous CIA, everyone knows what the CIA is. And he became a devotee. So his father became very disturbed because his father, although he works for the CIA, he was growing marijuana plants and smoking them. So he found out when his son wouldn't take intoxication anymore, he became very disturbed. So this is our modern leader, fathers and parental guidance. They become very disturbed if the children won't take intoxication, won't eat meat, won't have illicit sex, won't gamble. They think this movement is a cult, teaching people how to become clean and honest and moral, that they're brainwashing these children. I mean, it's typical. Hiranyakashipu, when he found out that his son, Prahlad, was becoming a devotee, he immediately called for the deprogrammers to come and take him away. And they had some real heavy deprogramming too. Hopefully the demons won't read the Bhagavatam. Get some ideas how to convince the devotees to give up their practices. Text 40. Adharma Vivat Krishna Pradushanti Kulastriya Sri Sudhisthasi Varshneya Jayante Varna Sankara. When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted, and from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Vrishni, comes unwanted progeny. So it's all not blamed on the women, believe it or not. Although it says the women become polluted, they become polluted when the men don't guide them properly. When there are no persons with knowledge to guide them, always in hell. Arjuna, he's quoting from Shastra, he's quoting from Dharma Shastra. There's different levels of Shastra. There's Artha Shastra. Artha is Karma Kanda, which is meant mostly for, especially for the Vaishyas. And then there is the Artha Shastra, which is meant for the Kshatriyas. And there's the Dharma Shastra, meant for the Brahmins. So Dharma Shastra, the Karma Kanda, is meant for those in mixed ignorance and passion, mostly. The Artha Shastra is meant for those in the mode of passion, and the Dharma Shastra is meant for those in the mode of goodness. So here, Arjuna is quoting from Dharma Shastra, but his reasoning is correct, but it's not the highest vision. Because what he's saying actually took place, but it wasn't, Krishna did not accept it, and now it's 11 o'clock, so we'll find out why Krishna doesn't accept Arjuna's reasoning and what his reasoning is. So thank you very much. Actually, we'll say we have time for, are there any questions? Any question? Yeah. What did he mean? His mistake. Well, he gave away so many cows to the Brahmins, but one cow he gave away wandered back into his herd. And then he gave it away again. In America, they call it an Indian giver. Yes.
You explained that Sivaya means compassion for a certain group, whereas Daya means compassion for all people. What does Karuna mean?
Karuna is mercy. You can be compassionate to someone, but as far as being merciful to them, that's a whole other thing. You have to have some, you may be compassionate, but you have to have the means to be merciful. Yes. Well, it was early on in the battle. Bhishma was killed before the 10 days. This happened early on. The reason why when he jumped off the chariot, the whole thing, at least in the Mahabharata it says that, is because there were so many astras and weapons were thrown at the chariot, but Krishna was protecting it, therefore it burned up. But early on there was just a few that were thrown at the chariot, so it wasn't so flammable yet. We'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj, Sri Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.